Before I bring my message this morning, let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Amen. Last night I had a dream. Just stay standing for a minute because I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to turn to hymn number 73 in the hymnal. And let's just sing just the first stanza. That would be fine. Last evening I watched 3ABN and they had on Maranatha and their mission trips. There's one trip that dealt with Cambodia, and the other one was in India, and they showed the poverty, but what the church is doing. And when I went to bed last night, my heart just absolutely reached out in gratitude to God. And in my prayers, I went to sleep praying. And then I had a dream, and I don't know if it's the dream. Part of it is a dream, but I don't know if the rest of it is, and I got to find out. But I woke up, in the dream, I was in a room with a whole lot of women. And all these women were telling me what to do. And it was just absolutely overwhelming, and I started to sing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. So I started to sing that song, and all the women left but Donna. And Donna and I seems like I'm not sure if it's the dream or if I actually did it. But this is 5 o'clock in the morning now. Isn't that crazy? I wasn't sure if that was the dream or if that was for real. But we woke up and sang this song. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit has absolutely just filled my heart with gratitude and love and this closeness. And I thought if we could sing that this morning, just the first verse, it is absolutely beautiful. Let's do it a cappella. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall raise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Loving Father, our hearts are filled with gratitude and thankfulness for the blessings that come our way, the opportunities that come our way. And as we continue our worship today, we again ask for a double portion of your Holy Spirit. Let us leave this place knowing that we have been with you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to continue with the subject of prayer. Last week, we talked about basically it was the skeleton. It's like building a house. It was the framework, the 2x4s, the 2x6s, the flooring, the roof is on, but there's no walls. It's just the framing is there. My subject this morning is the key that unlocks heaven. I want to continue with the subject of prayer, but I want to begin again where we started last week in the book of Chronicles. And folks, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is a text that should not just be read, but this text should be remembered because it is very close to each one of us. It says, if my people, who are my people? We are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and what? Pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. This morning I want to begin by asking a question. When we pray, does God do something different than He otherwise would do? If He does, why? If He doesn't do something different, let me get back to it again. When we pray, does God do something different than He would otherwise do? If He does, why? But if He doesn't do it, why? Now, from Scripture, it appears that the answer is yes. When we pray, the question was, does God do something different than He would otherwise do? And the question, the answer seems to be yes. It goes on to indicate that the why of our question involves us. It involves us developing a relationship with Him. In other words, when we pray, it gives God permission to act. It is not that God acts independent of our prayers, because He does at times. Let me say that again. In other words, when a person prays, it gives God permission to act. Now, what I mean by that, I have two sons. Now, their relationship, and I'll be honest with you, I don't believe their relationship with God is what it should be. Now, they might think something differently, but I'm looking at it from my perspective. So every morning, Donna and I pray for our boys. We pray for their wives. We pray for the children. I want to tell you, folks, it's not easy being a father or a mother today in the world in which we live, especially if you're working in the corporate world. So we need to pray for our kids. We need to pray for others. So when I pray for my boys, now it gives God permission to act on my behalf. There are Bible verses that support this. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 1 through 19, it deals with Daniel, and he's taken in vision again. And Daniel is in vision in chapter 10, and it has to do with God's people living in the end of time. And so this prophecy, or this what Daniel is praying about, is us. He is concerned about what's going to happen to God's people in the end of time. And the judgment is involved in this particular chapter. Jesus is involved in this particular chapter. In fact, not only do we see Him with His garments, His eyes are as fiery flames, and, you know, not only do we see Jesus this way, but we see Michael, the archangel. We see Michael comes to his aid and helps him. The verses I want you to look at, to just remind you about, is verses 11 and 12. And he said to me, this is Michael, and he said to me, O Daniel, men greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Now, if you go up just up to that in verses, beginning of the verse, he was praying about this matter. It was for 3 weeks, and he was intent. He was fasting, and he was praying, and finally Jesus comes to his aid. In verse 5, it says, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Euphos. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of light, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. We're talking about God. And as he continues to pray, verse 11, it says, Daniel, you are great beloved. Now listen to me. Verse 12 says, Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words was heard, and I came because of your words. Now, why did it take God, why did it take him 3 weeks to come and answer Daniel's prayer? Because sometimes God says no, other times he says yes, and other times he says, wait a while. Down in verse 13, it kind of gives you an idea what is happening. It says, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So here's Daniel in this vision, and he is praying and he is fasting, and Michael comes to stand with him. God heard his prayer. November the 11th was Remembrance Day, and as I was perusing some of the materials, I came across this particular story. It's an old story, and some of you may have heard it before. But I think it's a good story, and it made my heart glad to know that God can do what he can do and how he cares for his people. This story took place in the Second World War. A U.S. Marine was separated from his unit on a Pacific island. The fighting was so intense, the story said, and with the crossfire, this Marine lost his direction, and he could not find, he got separated from his troops, and he couldn't find them. And alone in the jungle, he could hear the enemy soldiers coming in his direction, and scrambling for cover, he found his way up a ridge, and on the top of the ridge, there were several caves. Quickly, he crawled inside one of the caves, and although he was safe for the moment, he realized that once the enemy soldiers looking for him swept that ridge, they would search all the caves, and he would be killed. As he waited, he prayed, Lord, if it be your will, please protect me. No matter what you choose, Lord, I love you, and I trust you. Amen. Simple prayer. After praying, he said he laid quietly, listening to the enemy beginning to draw close, and he thought, well, I guess the Lord isn't going to help me out of this one. Then he saw a spider. And that spider began to build a web over the front of his cave. And as he was watching and listening, he saw that spider lay strand after strand of his web across the cave. He thought, God must really have a sense of humor. I wanted a brick wall. And God builds a spider's web? As the enemy came closer, he watched from the darkness of his cave, the story said, and as they searched one cave after another, he got ready to take his last stand, but to his amazement, as these two soldiers came by, one of them looked at the spider's web and says, well, nobody's been in that cave in a long while. And they just went by. Lord, forgive me, prayed the young man. I had forgotten that with you a spider's web is as strong as a brick wall. You know, folks, we all face times of trouble, and when we do, it's so easy to forget how God has worked in our lives in the past. And sometimes it's been in surprising ways. But remember, with God, a spider's web can become a brick wall of protection. You know, the thing that I learned about prayer, that it can be very intimate. That's how you build your relationship. Yes, you build your relationship with God as you read. And folks, I would encourage you to spend time with God in His Word every day. We make that pledge, don't we, every Sabbath? But I also would encourage you that you would pray morning and night. And as I lay in my bed last night, and I went through what the needs of our local church, I prayed for individuals in the church, and then my heart turned and was absolutely filled with gratitude for what God could do. And I was almost overwhelmed, I remember, and then I fell asleep. And then the dream. And then I started singing, and people started to leave. And folks, isn't that just the way it is when we want to talk about Jesus? Most of the people don't want to hear. They leave. But you have a testimony. You have a song that you can sing. You can tell others about Jesus. David in Psalms 92, the clear word says, "In the morning I will sing about His love, and in the evening about His faithfulness." Psalm 63, if you would turn there with me, is a beautiful psalm. Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Seems to me that David he didn't start out with his thanksgiving and praise. He started out with his supplication. And then the prayer turns. Verses 2, so I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows closely behind You. Your right hand upholds me. So you go to bed at night and you're talking with Jesus. Folks, don't count sheep. Talk with Jesus and you will fall asleep. You will be contented, and you will be awake in the morning, and you will be continued to talk with Jesus. Did you know that at creation God planted in the mind of Adam and Eve the desire to intelligently worship their Creator? It was something that was put into mankind, and even sin did not eliminate that drive in humanity. Now, when sin came, it did not drive or eliminate that drive that we should pray. Those who have chosen to worship the Creator God build a relationship with Him. But those who reject the Creator God, they sadly create their own gods. things in their life become more important, and they worship them. They may not bow down to them or sing praises to them, but they give them, these gods, their homage. That's a powerful thought, isn't it? God planted in us a desire to worship Him. Prayer, I have found out, is a two-way communication between God and man. Prayer is the spiritual uplifting of the creature's heart to the Creator in humility and praise. I remember we went to Israel. We did a trip, you know, the Holy Land. We went down to Egypt. We climbed Mount Sinai. And I remember we started at 2 o'clock in the morning. And we got up there. It was about 8:30. The sun was just coming up. And all the pastors were there. We stood on the Mount Sinai. And we sang, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And that just rang out over that valley. It was an awesome experience. But I want to tell you, folks, you don't have to stand on the the top of that that rock to feel close to God. He can be close to you in your bed. From Ellen G. White, she wrote there's a new compilation, the book that they wrote on prayer just a couple of years ago. And Ellen White says, "Breath is the prayer of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted and the health of the soul be preserved. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life and strengthens the sinews and muscles of our religious experience." That's the book Prayer, page 12. And 13. Now I have realized that prayer is a conversation with God, and I have learned that I can reach out to God with my hurts and my desires, my praises, any time at all. I do not have to wait till morning or evening. I can pray all day long. In fact, Scripture tells us, pray without ceasing. We can have that attitude of prayer. Daily prayer needs to be as essential as our daily food. If you want to stay well physically, you need nourishment. And if we are going to stay well spiritually, we need spiritual nourishment. And we get that spiritual nourishment from doing our Sabbath school lesson. Folks, this quarter has been absolutely excellent, and I encourage you to spend some time each day doing your Sabbath school lesson. You do two things. You do your Sabbath school lesson, you get to open God's Word and read it. You do your Sabbath school lesson, not only do you learn, but you pray. You send these prayers up to God. If we would develop a character which God can accept, we must form correct habits in our everyday life. And daily prayer is as essential to our spiritual life as temporal food is to our physical well-being. Who was the greatest person, or who was the person who had the greatest spiritual influence in your life, and why? Now, I think of my grandmother. My grandmother was not a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. She was an Anglican, or what you call Episcopal Church, right here in the South, or in the United States. My grandmother loved the Lord. She would sing hymns. She would read her Bible every day. I've seen her many times in mid-morning, mid-afternoon. She'd have this Bible on her lap, and she would read it, and she would be praying. Often you would see her with her eyes closed when she thought nobody else was around. And you could see her lips moving as she was praying. She had a big influence in my life. Because people differ greatly both in personality and in circumstances, God leads each one individually in their prayer walk with Him. Your journey with God is not going to be just like my journey with God. Now, I believe that prayer is very vital to our salvation, and without prayer, we cannot have that saving relationship with Him. Now, here's another thing I learned about prayer. It is important to be specific when we pray, or we will not recognize when God answers our prayers. Example, back when we were pastoring in Memphis, I heard Dwight Nelson. He had a sermon about prayer, and he talked about journaling. And Donna is the one who likes to write and do these things, and she started a prayer journal. And in that prayer journal, we would talk about, you know, at the end of the day or as we were visiting, we would uplift certain specific things in prayer. And even the simplest things God is concerned about. The cat is sick. Now, most people would not give two hoots about the cat because it was sick. But the children in Terry's house and what was her husband's name? Terry and... Well, anyhow, we get it. They had a cat. It was sick. The vet took it to the vet. The vet said, we have to put it down. And the kids couldn't... Yeah, Terry and Chris. And the kids could not bear the fact that they would have to put down the cat, so... they brought it back home. Yeah. They knelt on the floor. Terry and the kids laid their hands on that cat and they prayed. And do you know in a couple of hours that cat was well? You never knew there was anything wrong with it. Simple thing like a cat being made well. Our son, I remember a big one. He had a boss who was really abusive, and it was terrible working conditions. So we started to pray. In fact, we asked this church to pray about it. But we were specific in our prayer. We asked God to clean up the ladies' act, and we asked there, if that couldn't be done, that they would remove her, or that Chris would be given an offer for a better job. And do you know what? He got a better job. He had to move from Panama City to St. Petersburg. And lo and behold, who was the counterpart to whom he was working for now? It was this lady, but she had nothing to do with Chris. But you know, it wasn't but within a couple of months that she lost her job. God has a way of taking care of things when they don't do that which is right. I remember Alec was probably 12 or 13. He was up in a tree. And he fell out of the tree, and there was a dead tree on the ground. And when he fell down, both arms hit on the tree and broke both of his arms. Now, he was in such pain, he went to the doctor, he came home, he had cast up to air, and both of his arms was stiff, like this. But we commenced to pray about it. And you know that the doctor was able to take these casts off two or three weeks before he would have normally did it, that his arms healed up. God hears our prayers and answers them. Since prayer is the only means of sustaining a living relationship with God, it is supremely important to me that I have a living prayer life. There's not a day goes by that I don't talk with God. And one of the things that has helped me in my prayer life is being specific, not only about you know what my prayers are, but look for Bible promises. The following are a few of them. In Galatians 3:29, in the clear word, it says, "Now, if you belong to Abraham, Now, if you belong to Christ, then you are descendants of Abraham, and you are entitled to everything that God promised him. Now, that's a wonderful promise, isn't it? It says it, writes it just a little bit different in the King James Version. But the clear word writes it that everything that God promised Abraham can be ours because we're his descendant. This verse gives me hope. Why? Because of this particular promise. I am Abraham's seed, and all that God promised Abraham is mine. I'm a son of the king, a prince. Psalm 37:4 says, "Trust in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, folks, when you trust in the Lord, you will learn that your desires are not going to be selfish desires. God wants to do good things for us. He does not want to do things that will promote selfishness. So when we pray, we must learn to use wisdom. Psalm 91:15-16, "When those who trust me call on me, I will answer them. When they are in trouble, I will be with them. I will rescue them and honor them. I will satisfy the longing of their souls and let them taste my salvation." Folks, what God has to offer us is good stuff. I would not change anything. I want to be like Jesus. We don't have to be like Joab to get ahead. We can be like Jesus. Isaiah 65:24 says, "Before you call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." James 1:5 says, "If any of you need wisdom, go to God who gives it graciously and generously to all who ask Him, and it will be given you." Psalm 37:23-24, "The Lord guides those who depend on Him and gives them the help they need. If those who depend on Him do stumble, they won't stay down because the Lord will help them up." The beloved Apostle John wrote, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Wonderful promise. Ellen White wrote in 8 Testimonies, page 12, "When in faith we take hold of His strength, He will change, wonderfully change, the most hopeless, discouraging outlook. He will do this for the glory of His name." Anne and Becky and I this week made a visit to a lady named Karen. And let me invite you to keep Karen in your prayers. She lives in squalor. It's a deplorable condition. No electricity. Can't eat up her food or can't cook food. Can't take a bath. She needs help, but it's not the kind of help that we can give her. We have turned the matter over to social services because she is getting food stamps, and it's just a really bad situation. But the point that I want to make to let you know is the fact that the people out there is not necessarily living. They are not living as comfortable as you are living. And you might think, well, look what such and such a person has, or I need this, or I need that. I need something bigger. But folks, just a humble place. If God is there and you've got food and water and your needs are taken care of, we should bloom where we are planted, don't you think? bloom where we are planted. Neglect to exercise a prayer or engage in prayer spasmodically now and then as seems convenient, and you lose your hold on God. The spiritual faculties lose their vitality. The religious experience lacks health and vigor. From that same little book, Prayer, page 13. Those who consent to enter into a covenant relationship with God, with the God of heaven, are not left to the power of Satan or to the infirmity of their own nature. The Tsar of Ages, page 258. From the book Sons and Daughters of God, no sincere prayer is lost. God hears Jesus' intercession mingled with our prayers. And when you pray, our prayers don't go directly to God the Father. Jesus intercedes for us. And folks, where we are weak, He is strong. He replaces our disobedience with obedience. He replaces our weakness with His power. We can overcome. Listen to this. No sincere prayer is lost. God hears Jesus' intercession mingled with our prayers. Christ has pledged Himself to be our substitute and surety. He neglects no one. There is an inexhaustible fund of perfect obedience occurring from His obedience. In heaven, His merits, His self-denial and self-sacrifice are treasured as incense to be offered up with the prayers of His people. As the sinner's sincere, humble prayers ascend to the throne of God, Christ mingles them with His merits of His own life and perfect obedience. Our prayers are made fragrant with His incense. Christ has pledged Himself to intercede in our behalf, and the Father always hears the Son. When Jesus was worn from ministry, He would retire at night to pray. We are told that in the morning He would come forth refreshed and revived in body and spirit, and the disciples marveled at this. The disciples suspected that the source of His power came from His prayer life. Not only did it change Him, but it changed the disciples, and they themselves felt the power of His prayers. And they entreated Him, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's where we get the Lord's Prayer from. And folks, what God did for the disciples, He can do for us. The great men of the Bible, Nehemiah and Daniel and Isaiah, Ezekiel, Moses and Abraham, all of these men used intercessory prayer. Jesus even interceded for His disciples, and now He is interceding for us. We should intercede for others. One of the things that gives me delight in my prayer life is when I go for my walk. I just don't think about selfish things. I pray for every house that I walk by. I don't need to know these people. But if the opportunity comes, I've had opportunity now to talk to a number of my neighbors as I've been walking around. Everybody knows that I'm a minister in the area. And I tell them that I've been praying for them. You can do the same thing. It's a small thing, but boy, it does something for your relationship with Him, and it does something for your relationship with your neighbors. Folks, it is prayer that unlocks the windows of heaven. There was a little song that we used to sing years ago, and I don't hear it very often anymore. The windows of heaven are open. Do you remember that? The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart, for Jesus made everything right. I gave Him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Do you remember that little chorus? How many of you remember it? Oh, several of you do. That is wonderful. Go to bed. Talk with Jesus. Sing these little choruses. Don't count sheep. They put you to sleep. May God bless us, is my desire as we develop that intimate relationship with Him through prayer. Amen.